Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. Today I have with me Hanako.
Hi.
And Daryl.
Hello.
And today we discuss Sleepy Hollow. Okay, that just took the wind out of everything. So, okay, Kat has been, I'm going to talk about myself in the third person here. Kat has been behind on Sleepy Hollow, and I hadn't watched it since the mid-season premiere. So last night, the internet was crying on Twitter, Facebook, and everything. So even though I had Sleepy Hollow muted in my mentions, could not avoid a spoiler. And then Hanako was like, this is a podcast emergency. I need to talk. I need to vent. And I was just like, well, that means I have to like buckle down and watch the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, okay, fine. And I did a binge watch and it was enjoyable. I just haven't been able to catch up on it, but I really enjoyed it a lot. And so far I'm confused about the outcry of the season finale, because like, don't people always die on Sleepy Hollow and they're resurrected the next season? Like, why is this so bad?
Because she's done. She's like, Abby's not coming back. They killed her character off.
Wait, what?
Yes, she's done.
Well, that's what got me.
That whole last 30 minutes of the episode was her saying goodbye, her talking to Crane about my job is done. You're supposed to move forward. There will be another witness, but I will. Yeah, that's what all that bullshit was. Abby is done. Nicole Beharie is done.
What happened? Why is she done?
I don't know, but see, the thing was weird was I watched it too. I finished it up, the show, and then I finished it up like a couple of days ago. And then I didn't think nothing of it, because I'm like, they die every season finale and they come back.
Yeah, right.
And then she posted a thing, there's an article yesterday saying the character says goodbye to Abby and Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
And then that kind of went, huh? And then that changed the whole thing. She really left the show. That's it.
Well, this is okay. So I watched it late Friday. Like, I wasn't even at home when it live aired, but I started seeing people mentioning stuff on Facebook like, oh, I don't like the way this is going. I don't like the direction of the show. And I'm like, okay, well, what's going on? So I watched the episode and I was confused at first too, because I was like, okay, she keeps saying something about she's an eternal soul, so does this mean that she'll still be there, but she won't be there in physical form? I was confused. Mm-hmm. So what I did after I watched the episode, I started, you know, kind of going through, looking for some articles, and I always read Entertainment Weekly's recaps after the shows that I watch, and mm-hmm. it basically said, Nicole Beharie says goodbye to Sleepy Hollow or something. I was like, wait, what? So, like, she's gone? So as I'm reading the article and I'm reading the different things, apparently there's been some talk throughout the year, throughout the season, that she apparently wanted out of her contract before season 3 even premiered. And so they have been, I guess, doing different things to kind of write her character out, or just kind of, I guess, keep her, I guess, not in the show as much while, I guess, she made her decision or whatever the case was. I haven't heard anything official as far as why she wanted to leave. But yeah, she's apparently done.
Maybe when they moved. Remember they moved to a new studio this season and changed the showrunners?
Well, I think that has something to do with it. Just reading through some of the other articles that I've seen, apparently them changing showrunners had something to do with it. And from what I understand, that was one of the reasons why Orlando Jones left. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I guess she's been wanting to leave since around the same time. But also, I guess because of the way that they shifted the narrative on the story, you know, it completely changed. It went from being about the Headless Horseman to about the whole Katrina and Henry thing, and then to this Pandora and the Hidden One thing. And it just, I don't know, I guess for me on the outside looking in, I kind of get it, because it's almost like from season one to now, it's like Abby was a main, she was like the lead character, she and Crane. And right. Even when this season started, the way that it started with them being apart for however, you know, I guess they were apart from each other for like a year while Crane kind of got his head together about Katrina and Henry's deaths. From the moment they got back together and things were changed, you know, Abby was with the FBI. It was different.
And they added Sophie Foster.
Sophie, not just Sophie, but everybody that they added, is almost like the story shifted from Crane and Abby to the crew. And yeah. It just really felt different to me. I still liked the show. I still was interested in the show. But my main interest in the show has always been Crane and Abby. And I really feel like they kind of made Abby a supporting character in her own show, which I didn't like. But I was like, okay, let's see where this is going. I didn't have as many complaints about the new people this season as I did last season.
No, because it was worse the previous season, how many people they added and how much time they got.
Not only that, but it's just kind of, I guess, the personalities of the people in the previous season, I really didn't care for. I didn't care for that Reyes who came in and took Irving's place. I didn't care about her character.
She was
at all.
Just terrible.
And she had nothing to do.
Right. But and at least with this Danny character, he was kind of interesting, but it just, I don't know, this season for me, it felt like they were trying to force a storyline for Abby. They was trying to force a past love. And it just, I don't know, it just felt off. I still loved the show, but it just really felt off as far as her character and Crane and trying to introduce the romantic partners for both. And that didn't work. And I don't know, it just seemed like they tried to do too much. And as a result, Abby was kind of pushed into the background, and I don't know if that was on purpose because they knew she wanted to leave, or if her wanting to leave was a result of that. But I don't even know if I still love Tom Meissen. I still love the character of Crane, but I just don't see.
He don't work without her.
It doesn't. It because
not for the show.
No, because it almost feels forced. It's like one of the good things about those two characters from the first moment they meet, there's a connection, there's a chemistry that you just can't deny seeing on screen. And for them to try to put him with these other people who kind of sort of get him, but they really don't. And then also, you know, the whole Betsy Ross storyline, it was cool, but I just didn't.
Like, what are they doing? Yeah, like, what are they doing?
Like, if you're going
to. I think, at least for me, from what I was seeing, it's almost like they were trying to please the fans on both spectrums, because, you know, you have fans who shipped Crane and Abby and wanted them to be together. Mm-hmm. And then there are fans who didn't want them together in a romantic way. They like the fact that these two people from vastly different worlds could become best friends and not have the romantic entanglement, which I understood. But trying to introduce all of the, it just, I just.
Because Betsy, it seemed like Betsy Ross, that, like, they were trying to do a, you could have did another show. Like, that could have been a whole different show of her just doing adventures, but it didn't seem like it was on the same show. It didn't seem like she should be on this show. It seemed like she should be on another show, her doing her thing in the past.
I don't know. At this point, I don't even know if they'll be renewed for another season. And if
they
are,
I
don't know if I could watch. And like I said, I have no problem. This is not to take away from the other cast members, because I actually like the dynamic of Jenny and Joe and what they bring.
Well, Joe is dead.
Yeah, Joe's dead.
Yeah, and see, that's another thing I have a gripe with. But, you know, you know, I liked certain things that they did with the show. I liked the fact that this show was one of the few that had a show with a majority African-American cast that wasn't about all the drama and the sex and
drugs.
That's starting to get on my nerves, what we're seeing on TV now.
Yeah. You know what, and I liked like Abby. And the father thing was great to add to.
Oh my God. I was like, this show is about to kick off.
Why you wait till the end of the season to do that?
See, I don't understand that either. And I mean, yeah. I'm so in my feelings about this because Abby is one of the positive characters that we see on screen now. One of the positive African American women that we see in a lead role. I talked about this on my blog. She's not lying. She's not scheming. She's not sleeping around trying to get her mission done. No, she's not betraying people. She was like one of the good characters. And the fact that she's gone now is kind of like, okay, so do we not, I mean, is this just a thing? All of the good moral characters, are they done?
Well, you know what they would have done. They would have just put her spirit in the body of another character, and it wouldn't feel right. Because she's going to try to act like Abby.
It has to be Nikki Bahari.
And they're
going
to try to make, like, it basically, like, it was so weird when they said, when they set it up as, oh, yeah, she not really dead. Her spirit jumps to other people, her other witness, and you can find, like, when did that happen? Like, all the things they have found out about,
being witnesses, you know, the whole 7-year trial. I'm like, okay,
How you throw something like that in that if they did die, because all the times that she did almost die, they never said anything about witnesses jump from body to body
Well, maybe because they learned that on their own. I figured like, okay, dad's coming in with a little bit of clarification. He's going to make us understand some more things. At first I thought, okay, well, mom was the one whose blood line this was on, but maybe it's dad, or maybe, you know, like, what is it? Is it Sam and Dean's dad? Is it Sam and Dean's mom? Is she going to become like Jadzia Dax and then go to Ezri Dax? Like, is it...
I thought that too.
What is it, Buffy, this vampire slayer, where she's going to have like a whole bunch of witnesses be activated and we're going to have like a teen training camp? Is happening right now,
If you think about it, you would go, well, if you consider, they called her sister a witness also.
When?
In the show, they said the witnesses, we have to stop the...
They were talking about Crane and Abby.
Yeah.
Oh, but when they said it goes by the bloodline or something, isn't her sister the other bloodline?
That's what I thought too. But if you looked at the end of the episode, it said something about the father said to Crane, "You have to go and find her
before
and
they."
It's like, right. So it's like, okay, he already knows where Jenny is. So
right.
It's not like.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a weird prophecy because if her sister is doing the same thing she is too, why wouldn't it just go to the sister to do the to continue?
I think they just BS'd their way out.
They did because,
and I don't like it. I mean,
it's totally that because if the whole thing is the witness fighting the evil, and their family has been touched as the like they're chosen to do this, you have a sister that does the same. Why wouldn't you just have it that Jenny, you have to take over now. You have to take over for your sister.
Like, this whole thing
The Slayer, Dawn wasn't a Slayer, was she?
Dawn wasn't supposed to exist. Remember, she was taken. She was the needed. Yeah, and they needed to put the vessel into a person to hide it. So they made the sister, made her sister. Her sister never existed before this.
This thing, I don't know. They took a really good show, and I think over the last couple of seasons, they just... At this point, I feel like if they were going to go in this direction, they should have just made it a one-season show. Because the first season was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I mean, I was already having issues once I found out Orlando Jones wasn't coming back for season 3. I was like, oh, here we go again. Okay, so what? Because there was nothing wrong with this character, except that, again, he went from being a main character to a supporting character in the show. And then I guess, I think I went back and reread an old interview, and he said that the showrunners kind of made it seem like he was the one that wanted to leave, when they apparently, they told him that he was leaving. I don't know.
No, but I'm saying the way that they worded it, they implied he wanted to leave. They didn't say they wrote him out.
No, well, apparently that was some incorrect information, because there was a quote where he said, "I don't know why they're playing it like I wanted to leave when they asked me to leave." That was his quote.
You wrote his character out.
So my thing is, too, is I think they were shocked and taken by surprise at the popularity of this show and how good it was going to be, because I don't think that they thought it was going to last past one season. They did not have anything in reserve to flesh out. All they had was, hey, let's try to do Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman and Modern Time and blah, blah, and let's throw a sassy black girl.
Wasn't it a summer show? Like, wasn't it a short season? I have no idea. I think it was a shorter season than most, the first season, because it was like a replacement show, I think. If I remember right, I think it was a replacement show. Because I remember when they said, not only did they get picked up for a second season, they got a full season of episodes.
Oh, okay.
Because it was popular, because of how well it did in the ratings for that.
You might be right.
Yeah, but nobody thought that this was going to be like that, because I know when Hanako, did you make me watch it, or did I just watch it? I can't remember.
I believe I probably had something to do with you watching.
And I think I forced Carl to watch, because he wasn't going to do it. And people were surprised that they actually liked it. So,
because it was so different.
It was a good show.
It was so different. Like, to see Abby, there was no Abby on TV.
No.
There is no character of Abby, a black woman who was not, you know, dire straits or, you know, like any kind of issues or anything like that. She was actually got to be
normal.
She was attractive. She was the hero. She was, you know, she could do the action.
Without having to take her clothes off.
Without being, you know, it wasn't a sexual show. It wasn't an overly sexual show. You could watch it. Except for the violence, that's the only thing you really, you know, had to be cautious of. But for the most part, the show was kind of a, you know, just teenagers could watch it, adults could watch it. It was a little funny Halloween. It was kind of like it had a Halloween vibe to it.
Yeah, so also it had the history. But that's what made it. I mean, they took a concept that could have been so corny, and they made something fairly interesting out of it.
Well, they celebrated the corniness of it.
Right. Kind of like, you know, when I think about it, it's kind of, to me, Ichabod Crane is like Forrest Gump, the way they did Forrest Gump, how Forrest Gump had, you know, I guess, a part in all of these historical events, you know, the way that they told the story. And that's kind of how Crane was. It's like, you know, he had a major part to play with all of these founding fathers, and they just made it work. And it was so interesting. And to watch him try to acclimate to this time and watch Abby, you know, help him through that, as well as fighting their own things. It was just an interesting concept. And again, going back to the chemistry, you believed it with these two. Nothing with these two characters felt forced. Nothing felt off the mark. And even, you know, they were at Dragon Con last year. And I got to go to a panel with Tom Meissen, who plays Crane, and I actually got to ask him a question about the chemistry. I just said, is this something that developed while you guys were on the show, or was it evident from the get-go? And he said, literally, it was in their screen test. He was like, you just kind of felt, he was like, it was kind of very obvious that, he said it was kind of like the whole finishing each other's sentences kind of thing. Like, the chemistry was apparent from the jump. So why would you mess with that chemistry when that's the main thing that keeps people tuning into the show. We watch for Crane and Abby. Yeah, all the other stuff is gravy, but we watch for Crane and Abby.
They didn't have a plan. I think Kat is right. They didn't have, I don't think they had a plan. Like, trying to add these other characters to it that nobody took to. I think that kind of probably messed with their heads as well, the showrunners, I mean. Because yeah. All the characters they add, all the new characters that they threw in there, the only ones that people were cool with was Jenny.
It's kind of right.
And I didn't mind Katrina or the guy from Fringe at all. I'm not really sure why people hated them so much, but I didn't mind them.
You mean Henry?
Mind that story at all. No, I thought it was super.
I don't think they hated Henry. I think the ones I'm talking about. Well, Henry was the bad guy. I mean, right. I'm talking about in terms of supporting cast. The ones they added to the show.
Yeah, I think the problem that people had with the whole Katrina storyline was, again, I felt like they were starting to focus more on the Katrina, Crane, Jeremy storyline, and Abby kind of got pushed to the side. And I think that was people's problem.
It didn't work to bring her in. Like, it probably the thing that should have happened at the end of last season should have been that Katrina dies. I mean, instead of, because when you bring her into the present, you pretty much throw off the whole dynamic because that's his wife. Like, you know, like he has to, you have to find time to have them deal with each other, which is going to totally take away time from Abby. You can't have a woman like Abby in your life and you have a wife with you. Like
Abby's supposed to be like his, I guess you could say, ultimate partner, not necessarily romantic partner, but they're witnesses that's supposed
we're
to
more than
off the apocalypse.
Right. They're, that's always their thing is, it's not, you know, like when they say, is it a romantic relationship? It's more than that. It's more than, because romance can go away. You know, like you can.
Fall apart. It's kind of like they're soulmates of a different on a
they
different
are
level. Yeah,
that's
so.
Definitely what they are. Yeah, even the whole thing with the one thing they did get right with this season is when they explain that there's a tether between the two of them.
Yes.
And when one, what happens to one, it affects the other. But I think you throw that in there, but you didn't realize what you threw in there. You didn't even understand what you did. That explains the show. Like, if they had stuck to that as the Bible for the show, is that these two are the tether, nothing should interfere with that, then you write the stories.
But then you have difficulty explaining why now all of a sudden Abby can move on and leave Crane on his own to deal with a new witness, person who has to get used to him. And
And what really made me mad is, okay, if you get rid of Orlando Jones, you should have brought the father in then. Because taking away her father figure, because that's what he was.
Not just once, twice. Because they started out the show taking away August Corbin.
Oh, yeah, they took him away. And then, so you take him away, and then I'm thinking, okay, why would you do the whole thing with the father being connected with all this?
Right.
And throw that in at the end when that's stuff we should have gotten in the beginning of the season to kind of have it where, especially when you had the whole thing of her dealing with her mother, her and Jenny dealing with what her mother went through at the asylum. When you do that, then you should have moved to dealing with what the father really was going, what was really going on with the father, and kind of having him be part of the cast. Because it worked. When you make it family, it works. When it's a sister, it worked. When it was, you know, you add the father to it, I think that would have worked. When you start adding like random people to it, because even Joe, I think, worked on a level because he was the son of
Corbin.
Yeah.
Not bad to look at.
No, he was not. But here's the squeaky thing about that whole thing. So when Abby and Crane come back and they see Jenny and they find out that Joe dies, they have Abby hug Jenny and say, he was our brother. What? Yeah. No, you're not too many people sleep with their brother like that unless you're on Game of Thrones. But, I mean, I'm just saying, that was just so, I don't know.
Maybe brother in arms, you know?
Well, okay. I can get that, but still, I don't know. this season finale just disappointed me on so many levels. I don't know.
They should have probably ended the story. Like, they should have probably ended the show. Like, they should have worked on maybe we just do the two seasons and that's it. And then the second season is us wrapping up everything else. Right. That's what they should have concentrated on, probably.
Right. And I mean, it's not that this season was bad. They had some great guests. I loved Pandora, even though she worked my nerves a little bit. Peter Mensa, I'll watch him in anything. I don't care. Bad guy, good guy, whatever. He's forever Animaeus to me. I will watch him in anything. But it's just, I don't know. It's, even with that storyline, it just kind of felt, I don't know. It just, Pandora started out really interesting, and then they brought in the hidden one, and then it turns out that she, you know, I guess he was the bigger bad, and she was relegated to being.
But then it turns out that it was her plan all along, which was a tell. You could tell from a mile away that it was going to be. It was her that was going to, you know, take that power, and they had to fight her. Like, that was right there. Like, how y'all not see that?
Yeah. And then they bring Headless back for one scene, and that's only to kill Pandora, and then he's gone off in the wind again. Like, what? What? I don't know. I hate to say it. I think I'm done. I don't see a future of the show for the show without Abby.
I don't see them coming back. No, because if they try to throw another actress in this in the bunch, who is going to kind of be another Abby? Because you're saying that her essence, she's reborn. She goes through. She's reincarnated in another person. Basically, what you're saying. So it's gonna seem weird because you brought people back with nothing. Like, you can't bring her back. It makes no sense that with a show where magic is always used.
Right.
And you can bring them back so many times. It's like, you can find something. You can make a talisman or whatever. Like, some type of orb magic, whatever, and bring her back. Freaking, you had Betsy Ross sleeping in a cave.
For 250, right.
And her hair was still nice.
Yeah. Oh my God! They went through some crap with Nicole's hair this season because went through just so many different types of wigs and extensions.
How you be lost for a month? I mean, how long was she gone in that world?
She was in the real world. She was gone for, I think, 2 or 3 months, and in the other world, she was there a total of 10 months.
And you have no food, you can't do your hair, nothing. And
she have like that. I was just like, okay.
Yeah. But apparently the thing is, nothing changes in that time. It's kind of like you're stuck frozen in time, which would explain both her appearance and Betsy Ross's. Because like you said, nothing changed. Like,
Her hair changed.
Go insane. For Betsy Ross to sit in that room for that long and to not be asleep. She just was chilling.
But remember, Betsy thought she had only been there a couple of weeks. Remember, time is different in the catacombs. Time is very different from what it is really. Because she thought she was still in 1776. She thought only a couple of weeks had passed.
But that was even weird. Like, you just laid down and then that was...
I don't know.
That was just weird. And when they open the door, that's when you wake up. Like, you didn't even wake up right away. They put the covers over you, talk to each other for a couple of hours, and then you wake up.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't even make sense. And what I could see if they said she went to sleep and then maybe something activated her essence to come back or something. I don't know. It's just they would throw things. They half-assed through things into the show sometimes and without really... They broke their own rules to a point.
Yeah.
Like with this show, with a show like this, you have to have rules that you set up for the audience. And then you have to remember your own rules so you can do it. Because when you don't, people remember that. Like when you don't stick to your own rules, people start to go, what, wait?
You sound like one of them crazy Star Treks.
Listen, follow rules. Follow rules. Or else.
As they would say, those trackies. Oh, God. Ew. Ew. I know.
Trouble me.
Yeah. But I don't know. I it wasn't a horrible season. No. I ended up looking at the costumes. I never understood what Betsy Ross was for and why we needed to go back in time. If she was not going to emerge to the future and be with them in their same time, but she went back in time and then she's talking about two different Cranes.
Yeah.
It made sense when it was Katrina, but now I was like, okay, so this is pre-Katrina, before he met Katrina, and because it's like we seeing it after Katrina.
I only love one woman, except for that one.
Yeah, and so it's just like, what now?
And then I think I also feel like towards the end, towards the last few episodes, they really, really tried to make it about Crane and Abby having unrealized or unrequited. They kept inferring that, you know, Crane loved Abby and Abby loved Crane.
They even said it to Abby. Didn't they say it to Crane that he loved her or something?
Betsy Ross said it to Crane and he says, she is my partner. And I'm like, why do y'all keep throwing that in? And that was the twist that I thought they were doing. I thought they were going to take Crane and Abby into this twist where they become romantically involved. And I didn't know how I would feel about that, because I do see where it could work, but I also am one of the people who kind of prefer it that they stay platonic and bonded in that way. And then they turned a whole 180 and just killed her off, and I'm like, what the hell is, what am I watching? Like, it just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not pleased. And they did in one of the interviews that the showrunners did, they did say something about, we may, you know, if they are renewed for season 4, we may possibly still see Abby at some point, you know, because, you know, I don't know how they would do it, whether they would bring her back temporarily, whether they would make Crane see her in this sleep state that he was in when they said goodbye. I don't know how, but I just, if she's not a regular part of the show, I don't even think I have an interest.
I think they talking a lot of shit like they did when they pretended of Orlando Jones was leaving.
Yeah,
I think that's some stuff where they saying it to sound okay. You know, they're saying it to sound like, you know, everything's cool. But I don't. If she left like this and didn't even wait to see if the show is renewed, that's saying something.
Yeah, I mean, they say she's been, you know, the articles that I've read said she wanted out of her contract before season 3 even aired.
That's basically saying, I don't want to fuck with y'all.
That was last summer.
I don't want to. Yeah, she basically said, I don't want to be here.
Right. And honestly, I will say this too. It kind of makes sense now, because even though she was at Dragon Con with the show, she missed the first day. I think they said something about the flight was off, or they missed the flight or something, because she and Tom Meissen both missed the first day. The second day, I was able to get my photo op with them, but I missed the panel because the foot traffic was so crazy that I couldn't even get there on time. And then when I did finally go to the panel the third day, they were like, we're sorry, Nicole is not here, she had to leave. And
I hate my boss, so you kiss my ass. Like, it sounds like, you know, right, they're still negotiating and having issues, and she was like, you treat me like shit, I'm not there with you right now.
I don't know. Now looking back in hindsight, she did kind of seem a little subdued. And I just put it to the fact that, okay, maybe this is her, you know, her first time at Dragon Con. Dragon Con, for anybody who goes to cons, if Dragon Con is your first major, major, major con, it can be overwhelming, because I think the only thing that's bigger than us is San Diego Comic Con as far as attendance size. So, you know, I just kind of looked at it as, oh, maybe she's feeling overwhelmed. Maybe it's too many people. Maybe it's too much, sensory overload, whatever. But she did seem kind of subdued, and I would hate to think that it was having to do with this.
But I mean, if you look at it, she's a person who's been in a movie. I mean, and you know, been in a movie that was was nominated for like an Oscar or something.
Which movie?
The Shame.
Shame,
yeah. That was with critically acclaimed. That was.
Is that the one that was with Michael Fassbender?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So you have that movie, and people were talking about, and industry people were saying she could, you know, like she was one of the actors that people liked in the film, and she could branch off to something else. So did, and actually, they kind of talked. They were kind of disappointed, or you know, they kind of made it sound like, why would she relegate her career to doing this show on Fox? The way they talked about it, because they expected her to do more films. She's only done a few more, but they expected her to do more films and stay in, yeah, do more indie stuff.
But see, this is where actors start to mess up, because they'll get that film bug in their ear and they'll be like Tasha Yar.
But she did the exact opposite, because she had the film career first and the critical acclaim, and then she came back on TV. I mean, if you think about it, when Viola Davis won her Emmy, Emmy this year? Mm-hmm. Was it the Emmy that she won? Yeah. When she won it, and she named off the women who paved the way, she mentioned Nikki Beharie specifically.
Nikki had to come from movies and TV. Yeah.
She was talking about the women who paved the way for her to get that award, to get that Lee Actress Award. She named several prominent African American actresses, like four or five of them, and Nicole Beharie was one of them. So that lets you know she's not just some quote unquote small TV.
But I could see.
I didn't know that though.
I could see her feeling a certain kind of way when you come for movies and you probably had other offers, but you want to do the show. She wanted to do the show, but I could see her committing to the show, wanting to do the show, and then for them,
they're giving her those badass wigs and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like you commit yourself to it, and then they start fucking with it. Like you think you got a good product, you think the show is really good, and you're working on all cylinders for that first season, and then after that, they start switching shit up, and it doesn't work. And then in the middle of that, they say basically we're gonna move to another place to film it, and on top of that, we changed the showrunners, and those showrunners got rid of one of your co-stars who you liked. You know, they were cool with each other. So I could see her feeling a certain kind of way about that, because that's not what she signed on for.
Well, either way it goes, I think the show is going to suffer from her loss. I just don't
see them renewing this. I just can't.
I don't either. And unfortunately, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, once they moved it to Friday, that kind of sealed it. Because anytime Fox moves a show to Friday, it's just done.
Yeah.
Which they should have kept it in its original time slot. I never understood why it got bumped for Minority Report, because to me, it was the better show. I watched like half a season of Minority Report, and I just had to stop because I just...
Well, it only went, I mean, and when did it cancel? Like, six in?
Oh, did it?
Yeah, Minority Report got canceled.
See, I had
pretty early.
I hadn't even paid attention, but I just...
Because you had the show killer in that.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
She took over Anthony Anderson's spot. What's her name? I can't think of her name now. She was in two shows that got canceled. One in the summer and Minority Report that came on after that.
Wait, who?
What the hell is her name? She was in the black woman.
Megan Good?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She's a show killer?
Yeah, she's a show killer. She had a show on NBC that got canceled.
Oh, yeah. It was supposed to be like...
She played a cop that moved back, investigating a family that she grew up with, a rich family that she grew up with, trying to see who killed her friend. So that got canceled. Then she
tried to do some personal interest type shit.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. Then she was in another show, which was a summer show, with the guy from The Office that played Daryl in The Office, Mr. Robinson. Mm. That show got killed. Like that show went like 5-6 episodes, I think, or something, and they already knew they were going to get canceled.
Wow.
So that show failed. Then she went to Minority Report after that. And then
see,
that
I wasn't feeling it when, you know, I tried to give Minority Report a chance because I actually enjoyed the movie. I thought, you know, and I thought, okay, maybe this is something that can be done with, you know, with a TV show. And I think Kat and I discussed it in one episode, like way, way, way back in the fall. And I said something about the fact that I didn't like the fact that they styled her character to me. They made her character kind of look like Abby.
They did. It almost it was almost like they said we could do a kind of a template of what Abby's character is in Sleepy Hollow, and the same people that watch Sleepy Hollow in this time slot, we can get them to watch this show that we want to do.
Right, because those two actresses are interchangeable.
Exactly. They don't matter. They're just interchangeable.
But the thing that I didn't like about Minority Report was where Abby was a cop and they focused a lot on what she was doing. I felt like with Megan Good as a cop, they still were trying to focus on the quote unquote sexy aspect of it because they had her in all the running gear all the time and her boobs were always out and she just, you know, she I don't know. I just felt like they were trying to copy it, but trying to take it up a notch. Whereas, as far as I'm concerned, Abby Mills' character, she was sexy without having to try being sexy. You know what I'm saying? It was her attitude, her intelligence, her confidence that kind of made it sexy for me. And then, of course, you know, throughout the season, she's got all these different men who are like wanting to be with her. She's like, no, I'm, you know, I don't need someone. I have what I'm doing. And that to me was, I don't know. I liked it better. It was refreshing. It was something different. I liked it. And
yeah,
okay. So, and that was one of my biggest gripes about Minority Report. I was like, really? Okay. I think I've seen enough of Megan Good's boobs over the years. We don't really need
I've
to see
never
that.
Seen
like,
enough of those,
well,
but,
yeah.
But I'm saying I would rather. I mean, if I want to find something with her being sexy, I can look at the other movies she's done. But
right.
Yeah, but if you're gonna do a show based around, you know, she's the lead, and you're gonna base the show on like Minority Report. Like, if you're doing some soap opera type show, that's one thing. You're supposed to sex it up for that.
Right.
With this, you're trying to make an action star out of her. You don't give her any substance. Like, that's what her thing is. They've been trying to make an action TV star out of her.
Right.
For a few shows, but you don't give her anything. You just have her as the pretty. She's pretty, but with nothing else to back up her character, which
right.
is a problem. They didn't give her a real background, and Abby had it. You know, they had a well-rounded. That's what's kind of sad about Sleepy Hollow. They gave her a well-rounded character with all the backstory of the family and
right.
with the sister. And so she had all that, like the train, she could have went to the FBI, like all that stuff was there.
And the good thing about it too, they were revealing that stuff to us slowly. So it's like,
right.
we didn't have everything about her all at once. They were peeling her back in layers and we were finding more. And the more you find out about this character, the more you liked her because you see what she's gone through, and she wasn't always just a tragic character. It's like she was a fighter, she was a survivor, she went through all this stuff and she was still there doing what she needed to do, and her character never changed from that.
Right.
And that was one of the things I love about her character.
They could have hooked her up with Crane, but I think if they had did it right where they had it where you know, Crane eventually lost his wife in the first season, and they kind of slowly develop them in that way, like take time where they don't even start to really go in that direction till the third season.
Yeah, which is what I think they kind of sort of were towards the end of this season. I think that's kind of where they were trying to go with all the, oh, you love her, you guys have a bond, and da da da, oh, Miss Mills is the you know, the special person in your life, and all this other stuff. They would I just felt like at some point, it just felt like they were rushing it. And that
well, it hurt that they kept peppering in. Like, if they had gotten Katrina stuff out of the way and we didn't get that long-winded season of Katrina slowly, you know, lying, she's doing this, she's doing that, all those secrets
are coming. Right. The disillusionment. Because for so long, you forced, I won't even say force-fed us, but you basically made such a big thing about how much Crane loved his wife and how much she loved him and their bond. And then towards the middle of it, you kind of, which I guess in some instances as a mother, I can understand you made it be about her picking her son over Crane. But the way that they did it and how quickly they did it, it's like she almost turned overnight from loving wife to doubter. And then for her to want to kill him, it was just...
Yeah, that didn't make any sense at all. It was just stupid.
Yeah, they kind of went to the extreme with
that. You build her up too much. You build her up to the point where if she did... When you bring her into the presence, there's no way that him and Abby could have the same relationship that they have. Because it's like she only... They were only able to bond the way they bonded was because she wasn't... Neither one of them had any romantic... entanglements to...
They only had each other for the most part.
They only had each other, and they just lost people. You know, he just came to the realization that he lost his wife. She lost her father figure that she had. So they had to lean on each other for that time, and that was how they, how they got to the point where they got to. But then to bring her into the present, I don't think they had a plan when they brought her into the present. They were ready for that. I don't think they thought about how that would affect the dynamic between Crane and Abby, because you built that. You built that up and you got us to like that. And then, so now anybody that comes between that bond is going to start to come off as kind of in the way.
It's kind of like what they do with the show that reminds me of that is Supernatural. Because you notice the boys are always the focus, Sam and Dean, and they have their sidekicks. Like, we have our favorite sidekicks. Like, we love Castiel, we love Bobby, and we've loved some of the other ones in the past, but it's never been to the point where one of those two forces their way in between the boys. The boys' worst enemies have always been each other, up until this current season. And I think it's kind of the same way with Crane and Abby. It's like we liked when they had people standing with them or standing beside them to fight. But once they kind of take over or force their way into that partnership, that's when the problems start happening. And that's when people stop liking things. And I don't know. To me, that's when the show starts to fall apart.
Katrina got a lot of hate towards the...
She did, and I will admit, I was one of the people who was kind of like, okay, can y'all please be done with this? But it wasn't necessarily that I wanted the character killed off, or at least in that fashion, or for them to take the route that they did. I would have rather Katrina still been helpful to the cause and maybe sacrificed herself, or either even been pulled back into purgatory, or something where she was still a presence on the show, but not a main presence, because... Her as a main presence is like we have to watch her go through what Crane went through when he woke up in our time, but we have to do it with her with less humor. Yeah. And I think that's probably one of the things that bugged me, because Crane trying to figure out things is humorous. It's funny, and the banter between
and also and Abby, they had no real chemistry, though, to me, in terms of that banter that you need for the show. When she came into the present,
right that's what I'm saying, she doesn't have the chemistry was not there. And then her trying to at the same time trying to befriend Abby while she's learning this, and it was just a whole different thing, because Abby could say something and Crane could come back, and like I said, you believed that friendship and how it evolved. Mm-hmm. And with Katrina, all of this stuff just felt really forced, because I don't know, just the way that they explained things to her, the way she questioned things, it was just kind of not as, it wasn't as quirky, which kind of took away from it. That's one of the things we love about the chemistry between
Claire and plus she Abby. Had no other friends because she comes from that other time, so the only person she can be around is Abby and
Crane and Crane. Jenny, so it and just,
they just didn't have anything else for her. They didn't have anything for her to do for a long time. She was just like, ooh, I need a spell, go get me a spell, and then she'd go off and do her book thing and then come back out and do a quick spell, and then it, only thing when they got something for her to do, that was when they started to turn her evil. When they found something for her to do. We lost another one.
Well, this time it's not my fault.
This time.
Oh, shush. I don't know. This is one of the shows that it was a surprise to me that it was good, and because eventually it stopped being a show that I must watch, I'm not as broken up about it because...
So fast, too.
Yeah, I was just... I don't know. It's not that I didn't want to watch it. It's just that, you know, I was like, oh, I'll get around to it. I don't know. And then it wasn't bad. It's just, it wasn't urgent, you know? And, you know, I don't know. Maybe... people are starting to feel that. So I don't know. I'd like to see another quirky American mythology show because I really dig the American history is cool and mysterious angle because I love like the National Treasure films or, you know, like the little secrets about our forefathers or anything, American forefathers. And it's exciting. It's kind of cool. So I will miss that if they could. I don't know if they're going to be able to make the perfect storm to where they can make something like this anymore. You know,
because they tried. They tried other shows and none of them made it past the first season. You know, shows where they go back and then they build a mythology around real history.
Who and did that?
ABC tried to do something like that with taking, they tried to make an action adventure thing around actual, you know, historic things, you know, with money and the new Illuminati and all that kind of stuff. Like they tried to do that with that show. And
what show was this?
It was with a professor. I forgot the name of it, but it was on ABC and it only lasted, I think it got canceled the third episode.
Oh, I think I know because it was on Hulu and they kept trying to make me watch it.
It got, the ratings were so bad, like people didn't even tune in.
Like I wonder why, because it feels like Dan Brown book, yay, put it on TV, boo. You know, it's weird.
Well, even the movie, I mean, even films where they've tried, like it was almost like National Treasure did well, the first one, and then... You know, and then they were doing little movies like a Lincoln Vampire Hunter. And
that was amazing.
But they were trying to mix that, you know, whole thing. And then there were the Pride and Prejudice stuff and they were with zombies and they were trying to do all this stuff. And it just seemed like now none of that works. Like every time they try to do something like that, it doesn't work. Not on film. It doesn't work in the TV shows. I think the Librarians probably was the only thing I can think of.
The Librarian TV, I mean the TV films, the show I never even watched and I love the films.
And I don't even know if it is picked up for another
season. I think it got two seasons, but I don't know what's going on with it because they told me the first season Noah Wiley wasn't going to be in and I was just like, I'm not watching that.
So but there's no buzz about it. Like there's no real buzz about it. So I don't even know. I don't know what's going on with that show. So like I'm saying, it's like people tune in for it for a minute. They're like a hot minute. People were interested in that type of and those type of shows, and then all of a sudden, it just seemed like
she hit the fan.
Yeah, and everybody moved on to something else. They're done.
Oh well, it was fun while it lasted. I think they made mention because just to throw a little bit of my life in, my senior collection this year was called American Rome, and American Rome is a nickname for Washington, D.C. And they made a comment on Sleepy Hollow about American history being so exciting because there was a play about, was it Benjamin Franklin? Mm-hmm. Or is it?
Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. The reason why it stood out to me is because somebody said that to me maybe 2 months ago when I told him about my inspiration. And I was just like, there's a play? And then to hear it today about there's a play that people are up in arms about. And I was just like, wow, that's, I guess it was a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't know, it's interesting that, I don't know, American history could be cool. And I liked that about it. So, because I don't know, for so long, it seemed just like it is what it is and it's not cool or it's not mysterious. It doesn't have mystery like maybe China or Japan or, you know.
Right. Well, it feels like things don't, it feels like the pieces, they never have all the pieces. Like the writing might be stronger on another show, but the cast is just bland as hell. So nobody really wants to watch it. Like Sleepy Hollow has the chemistry in the cast, but the writing is just not strong after season one.
Yeah.
So it's like you never get the complete package for any of the different shows anymore.
And if it's anything we like on Sci-Fi Party Line, it's the complete package, baby.
Okay.
Well, y'all are being so depressing.
I'm just like I mean,
Hanako sounds like I need to put her on suicide watch. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I'm very, very upset about the departure of Abby Mills. I just, that was like one of the best things of the show.
That's like Scully leaving in third season. That doesn't, right. It's not going to make, you know. I was looking forward to, because I hate the show Bones. I don't like the lead character. I watched it because of Angel, you know, his real name, but that lead character lady, dislike her immensely.
You know what? And that's the other thing, because when they did the crossover, that was the thing that bugged me the most. I was like, oh my God. And people still watch this show. She just, I can't stand her.
My God. I can't stand her. I mean, I appreciate the science of it or whatever, but does she have to be so like, this is another thing where Daryl made a comment. I don't know which episode, but he was like, every new show coming out is coming out with a person who has Asperger's so that smart person can be an asshole and do smart things and not have to deal with the emotional consequences. And I was like, that explains Bones completely.
And they're still doing it.
Mm. And it just, it's irritating.
That whole crossover thing just bugged me. I was like, really? We could have done this without crossing over.
I mean, I ended up thinking it was cute, and she was, I thought that the Bones character was very gracious in embracing the mysterious. So I didn't mind it, but that was enough Bones for me. Yeah. But I really wanted an X-Files Sleepy Hollow crossover.
Now that would have been awesome.
Not, you know what I'm saying? Because that would have been just perfection. And I don't, you know, because Nicole is gone. I mean, maybe if they try to do something next season, they might get desperate and do, if they do more X-Files and do more Sleepy Hollow, then maybe. But I don't know. Still,
for me, it's not going to be the same without Abby.
Yeah.
No matter what they do, no matter how they slice it, it's not going to be the same without her.
No, it's not. Especially when you're basically telling us, oh, this is how we're going to make an excuse of how we can make a kind of Abby with the actor not being there.
Do we think it's like, is it, I just never felt it was about race on this show. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it wasn't.
So it like is no. her leaving departure is not a racial blah blah that we're gonna hear later on down the line.
I don't
that
see why I would, because like I said, the cast right now, the cast is majority African American. So I don't see why it would be. I mean, of course Abby, her sister, her dad, Sophie, you got Danny. I mean,
It was too many black folks on the show. Somebody had to die. Shit.
But what I do think is that I think that the show.
I don't think it was that though.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't. It didn't feel like this. This show felt very respectful. Progressive. Yeah.
But I think the showrunner for the, not this season, but the previous season, I think that showrunner thought that he can make them interchangeable. To take Orlando Jones out to get rid of that character. I don't think he really thought about what made the show work last season. I don't think they knew what the formula was for their own show success.
Yeah, Orlando taking him away, it just took away a little bit, and I was just so in awe that he wasn't doing something goofy. He wasn't funny, and I enjoyed that.
But he was funny in some.
He wasn't who you were used to. He wasn't the goofball.
And the other thing that really bothered me about him leaving the show is because if you follow him on social media, he was like one of the biggest promoters of the show. Like, he talked about the ships, he reposted memes, he did fan
fiction. Which didn't make sense why he would leave when they did announce that. It didn't make sense.
Right. He was one of the people who was so positive about the show, and then to find out Orlando Jones is not coming back for season 3, I literally looked at my computer and said, what the fuck is that? I mean, it was one of those moments where it's like,
wonder if they thought, since they had John Noble, they thought that they could get rid of, because he was a more well-known actor, I guess, to some.
But I don't think that had anything to do with it, because their stories were kind of, so I like what they did with Henry kind of controlling Irving and then Irving getting out of that. And, you know, I just really thought that they could have done more with that storyline, and then for them to just, and then the way they did it so abruptly, oh yeah, Irving just took off with his family in the night, didn't tell anybody. Really? Really?
Yeah, that was just,
that's how we're doing? I didn't buy that. I didn't like it. I didn't. I mean, and it's kind of like Daryl said, you know, you have these storylines where they've brought people back from the dead. I mean, Irving was dead and they brought him back. So why could you not do that with Abby?
It's such a contrast especially with Supernatural, for example. Like, it's now even a running joke how they do that whole thing with killing, how each of them die every season.
Right.
It's like a running joke with them, to the point where even the angels and stuff are like, the dead, you know, basically the people that work, when somebody dies, they're the ones that take care of where the soul goes. They're like, look, I'm sick and tired of you mother effers.
Right. Out. Right.
Like, I'm waiting for you to die because you're going down.
And they have a Reaper that's a black chick who basically, she scares me more than death scared me.
She
was like, about to savor it, because she thought she was going to reap Dean a couple episodes ago. She was like, oh, I'm about to savor this. Yeah, I just want to look. And he was like, what's with the, you know, because he's looking over at his impending death. She said, oh, I just want you to witness this, because this will be the last time you see this. I mean, she was taking so much fun into that, and it was just like, okay, please don't do this. But I mean, at least now we know the Reapers are serious. They're like, if you die one more again,
they're like the audience, like, how many times are you two gonna die and come
right
back? Like, it doesn't make any sense that you keep coming back.
Right, it doesn't, but it's fun. We like it.
It is fun. You're like, how are they gonna do it this time? Like, how,
because at least they're creative with it still.
They do, and it's part of the show.
Right. It's still creative. I mean, if they were doing the same thing over and over and over again, which in a way they are, but they're doing it so differently that it makes a difference. I mean, they wouldn't be going into a 12th season.
No, but you just know? The way that... Yeah, it's like Sleepy Hollow just got way over their head. They didn't know what the hell they were going to do with these people.
And now we have to suffer for it, because now we don't get to see Crane and Abby anymore, and I'm pissed.
No, you probably ain't gonna see nothing no more unless you look at.
Yeah, they should just get rid of it, because I can't.
I don't think you're gonna see people come back. Even diehards, I don't think we're gonna accept Abby Light.
I haven't even been on Tumblr since it aired. I'm like, I don't even want to go on Tumblr.
I can only imagine.
I don't think I'm ready for it yet.
I could only imagine the hate on that. And then imagine what actors would want to even play the next person.
Right.
That the spirit of Abby goes into, because all she gonna get
is hell.
Is hell. Like, you ain't good enough. You ain't good as Abby. Abby don't act like that.
Right. And it's not that, you know, it's not something we would be doing on purpose, but it's just, it's not Abby. And I just don't understand.
This is how I felt when Ezri Dax took over for Jazia Dax. I still to this day do not. We all felt. Still to this day, don't like that actress. Anytime I seen her, she ruined Haven for me. I wanted to like Haven, but she was in that first episode and I was like, I'm done.
She was the worst Dax.
Oh, well, Hanako, it's just really sad to hear you so
sad,
y'all.
But the good thing is it got me out of my writing hiatus because I couldn't stand the fact that Abby left so much. I finally went back and started blogging again. I've been on hiatus for like 6 months and I was like, okay, I have to talk.
Because I was so distraught. Back in the belly.
I was so distraught. I'm sitting here looking at my screen like, what the fuck did they just do? And my daughters are looking at me like, I think they just killed her off. I'm like, no, they can't do that. She's like one half of the whole reason the show exists. Like, how do you kill that character off? And I'm sitting here looking and I'm like, they really did just kill her off. And I'm looking at the goodbye with her and Crane and it was just so weird and it seemed kind of, it didn't seem like them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like you could tell there was a difference and it felt so weird. And I was just looking at it like,
this I just thought it was bullshit. I said, y'all playing. I know y'all going
to right.
I was just like, well, until you told me, I was like, why is the internet losing their crap over this?
I actually had to go online and look for stuff. I was like, okay, I need some kind of clue about what's going to happen next season because I'm not getting this. And then when I saw Sleepy Hollow kills off and producers say she is definitely dead and I was like, what you know talking what? About? I'm done with y'all.
I was like, what you talking about? That's why I said, Hanako, what you talking about, Hanako?
Yeah, because Daryl inboxed me. He was like, so like she's really dead. And then Anthony also, he inboxed me. He said, please tell me it's not true because if it is, I'm not even going to bother catching up because I don't think Anthony has been able to watch at all this season, or at least not since the first part of the season. And he had been telling me, I'm going to get caught up. I'm just going to wait for them to finish and then I'm going to binge watch. But one of the whole reasons why he watches the show is because he is a huge, huge fan of Nikki Beharie. So when he found out, he was like, I'm not even going to bother watching now. Yeah. I mean, it's just, she was one of the people that made the show and they just killed the show. Thanks, Fox. Thanks, showrunners. Thanks, everybody. Y'all just killed the show.
Well, now you at least know how we felt about Firefly, Almost Human, the countless others.
Yeah,
there's plenty of them.
But you know what? Everybody said it, and Kat, I think you even said it when Sleepy Hollow first started. We were like, we gotta be wary about loving a show that's on Fox. Like we have to kind of guard our hearts and not get too attached because they're gonna treat us like the Starks, you know.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much what they did.
Yeah, so, that's how it went down.
I don't know. I'm done. I don't want to talk anymore.
Okay.
I'm done.
Alrighty.
But you know. Nikki Beharie and what she brought to that character of Abby Mills was one of the best things I have seen on TV in a while. So if she ever happens to listen to this podcast.
Oh, yeah, she listens every week. She tell me.
We love you. We will miss you. I'm done. I'm done.
Okay, Daryl, any final thoughts on Sleepy Hollow?
He's done, too.
Yeah,
okay, I think we're all done.
Yeah, they fucked up.
All right, well, that's our show. If you have any feelings about Sleepy Hollow, give us a call at 773-336-2686 and leave us a voicemail. And you can also go to our website and leave a message there. That is scifipartyline.com. You can reach us on all of the social media, well, most of them. That is Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And you can just Google Sci-Fi Party Line and find us there. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show and we will see you at the party next time.